Chapter 6. Fairy Power. It's Three, the third oldest. She's tall and slender, with light brown skin, brown eyes, and shiny brown hair pulled up in a bun.
"Hi," she says. "Who are you?" I swallow the rest of my donut. I'm Abby, and this is Jonah.
My heart is pounding. Is Three going to tell the king we're here? Are we going to have our heads chopped off?
"Do you work in the palace?" she asks. "Are you new?"
"Yes," I say, thinking fast. "We work in the kitchen. We're cooks.
Very young cooks."
Jonah nods, his mouth too stuffed with donut to speak.
"Oh," Three says, snagging a donut for herself. "Thanks for breakfast. These donuts are delicious."
Jonah swallows. "You're welcome," he says proudly,
as if he actually made them.
"You're Three, right?" I ask the princess.
"Yep, but I call myself Terry."
"Is your real name Three, though?" Jonah asks.
Terry nods. "My dad named us by birth order."
"I guess that's better than naming you out of order," Jonah says.
Terry takes a bite of her donut. "I guess, although it's still annoying. It's like he doesn't want us to be individuals. And can you believe he made any dancing besides ballet illegal in the Kingdom of Dews?"
"That is ridiculous," Jonah says.
I completely agree. Even if I don't want to do it, ever, that doesn't mean dancing should be illegal.
Terry huffs.
"I don't even like ballet. I like gymnastics."
She shrugs.
"He just wants us to be good little princesses and marry us off when the time comes."
"Ouch.
Not cool," I say. "I know. I mean, I'm not opposed to getting married." Her cheeks redden, and she gives a shy smile. "I might even have a little crush on someone, but it's a secret crush, so don't tell."
"I won't.
Who would I even tell?"
"Terry," I say, looking past her to make sure no one is coming, "do you know someone named Minerta?
The woman in the woods?"
"Maybe."
Terry nods. "There's a woman named Minerta who lives in the woods. She's always collecting flower petals and twigs."
"That must be her. Would you be able to direct us to where she is?"
"No problem," Terry says. "Make a right out of this room and take the side door at the end of the hall. Follow the stone walkway out of the castle. You'll come to the woods. There's a white pebbly path in the forest that leads to a little yellow hut. That's Minerta's house."
"Perfect.
But it's a long walk," Terry adds. "A few hours at least."
"We can do it," I say. "We just have to be back to give Prince Jean the invisibility cloak before the princesses leave for the night."
"Well, gotta go. It's time for school," Terry says with a roll of her eyes.
"Where's your school?" Jonah asks.
"In the castle," Terry sighs. "That's where our ballet lessons are, too, and our ballet recitals. Everything we do is in the castle."
"Except for your secret night dancing, I think, but don't say."
Terry turns to go. "See you later."
"Bye, and thanks," I call after her. "She's nice," Jonah says.
"She really is."
"Let's go find Minerta," I tell him. Instead of rushing to the door, Jonah selects another donut, like we have all the time in the world, which we don't. "Jonah, Terry said it's a long walk to Minerta's hut." He shrugs. "Jonah, what's going on? What's wrong?"
"Nothing."
He shrugs again.
"Fine, let's go."
We walk to the doorway and look to the left and the right.
"No one is coming," I whisper. "Let's move."
We head for the door at the end of the hall. I turn the handle and we slip outside.
"We did it! Woot woot!" We are so good at sneaking around, even without an invisibility cloak. The outside of the castle is made of glittering, light gray stones. The grounds are manicured with perfect green grass and pink flowers. Pretty. And the stone walkway up ahead leads to... there! I point across the castle grounds. The woods! We go running into the woods. The trees are in neat rows. Like the castle and the princesses, everything in Dewes seems tidy and orderly. It's nice, but I could see how it might feel like too much tidiness. Jonah and I walk and walk and walk. Terry did say it would be a while. Too bad we don't have your skateboard, I tell Jonah. That would make us go slightly faster. Jonah sighs.
I guess it's not the end of the world if we don't get the crown ruby for Mary Rose.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? I ask him. Of course it is.
I'm just saying it's not the worst thing if she doesn't get stronger.
Yes, it is. Jonah, what's going on with you? Why does it seem like you don't want to help Mary Rose? He frowns and kicks at a pebble.
I do, he says, but once Mary Rose gets her fairy powers back, she'll leave and take Prince with her.
Oh, so that's why Jonah is being weird. No, she won't, I say. Prince is our dog.
But he wanted to stay with Mary Rose, Jonah says with a pout. He really likes her. Plus, they're both from the fairy tale world. Maybe he wants to be her dog.
I stop walking and stare at Jonah. Prince wouldn't choose Mary Rose over us, would he? No. I shake my head. Prince is just watching over Mary Rose while she's weak, I assure him.
I don't know, he says, kicking at another pebble. I guess we'll see.
Okay, I admit I'm not 100% sure of anything, but I really don't think Prince will leave with Mary Rose. We don't even know where she'll go, or if she'll stop taking us into stories. Really, don't worry, I tell Jonah, trying to sound confident. We walk along quietly.
If you could be named any number, what would you pick?
Jonah asks me, breaking the silence. I wouldn't want to be named a number, I say.
You can call me 7 3/4, he says, because that's how old I am.
But then your name would change every few months.
It could change every minute.
Oh, 7 9 months and 6 days and 7 minutes.
Now 8 minutes.
Mom and Dad would mess it up all the time.
And I'd forget to answer.
Classroom attendance would be tough. He laughs. Then he stops.
Abby, look! Jonah says, pointing. The pebbly path that Terry was talking about.
I peer up ahead. He's right. There's a path covered in white pebbles. We follow it. Wait, I hear something. Music?
Jonah, do you hear that? I ask. I think someone is humming, he says.
I strain to listen. He's right. Someone is definitely humming. I guess we follow the hum, I say. The humming is getting louder. We stop behind a tree, then poke our heads out to see. A woman is collecting flowers from the ground. She's putting them in a basket and humming to herself. Nearby is a yellow hut. She has to be Minerta, right?
You might as well show yourselves, she says, adding some pebbles to her basket. I know you're there.
Oops. We step forward. Minerta is very, very, very old. Way older than my Nana, even. She has wrinkled skin, and her glowing white hair is cut into a bob that ends at her chin. She has sharp bangs just above her eyebrows. She's wearing a shiny purple dress with white flowers on it and a fringe on the bottom that shakes when she moves.
How did you know we were behind that tree?
Jonah asks.
Fairies have their ways, she says with a chuckle. And we don't reveal our secrets.
Are you Minerta? I ask.
I am. Who's asking?
Mary Rose sent us, I say. She said you might be able to help. Minerta stops plucking flowers and looks at me.
Mary Rose? The fairy who was cursed and trapped in that mirror?
The one and only, Jonah says.
Oh, that poor dear, Minerta says, shaking her head. Such a terrible situation. I wish I could have helped her, but my powers have never been too strong to start with, not like Mary Rose's.
That's the thing, I say. She's now really weak. She's free from the mirror, but she keeps fading in and out. I think she's getting weaker.
Oh, Minerta says. That's not good. That means she barely has any magic left, you know?
Oh, no. Mary Rose sent us to Dews to find the crown ruby, I say quickly. She said it contains healing properties for fairies.
Well, then you must get it for her, Minerta says.
We will, I say. But we need the invisibility cloak for our plan to work. Mary Rose said if we need help, we should find you. So here we are. Will you help us? Pretty please?
Pretty please with a cherry on top? Jonah asks. If you like cherries, that is.
The invisibility cloak, Minerta repeats.
Yes. Can you give it to us?
I do have just the one.
Perfect! Can we have it to help Mary Rose?
Well, Minerta hesitates. I guess I could make another one. Okay. Fairies help fairies.
Minerta snaps her fingers and extends her hand out like she's holding something.
Here you go. I don't see anything, I say. It's invisible. Here, take it.
Is this an Emperor's New Clothes situation? Jonah asks.
I reach over and try to take what's in her hand. I don't expect to feel anything, but I do.
Oh, I feel it!
It's cool and kind of scratchy. I pull the invisible material over my head. I can't tell how big it is exactly. Does it work? I ask.
Yes, Jonah exclaims. I can't see you.
Really? I look at my arms. I can see them, but Jonah can't.
Really? Jonah says. I can only hear you. You totally disappeared. So awesome.
It works. Hurrah. Thank you so much, I tell Minerta, taking off the cloak.
You're welcome, Minerta says, heading toward her yellow hut. I wish Mary Rose the best of luck. I'll be thinking about her.
Let me try,
Jonah says, grabbing for the cloak. Jonah tries on the cloak, and he's invisible. Ha! Then I try it on again, and then, finally, we start the long walk back to the castle. By the time we get to the edge of the woods and see the castle grounds, the sun has gone down and it's completely dark. We run over to the castle. I open the side door and look inside. It's late, so the coast should be clear.
But the coast is not clear.
Two maids are walking down the hall holding baskets of laundry. I pull my head out super fast.
What's wrong?
Jonah whispers. The maids will see us, I explain.
No they won't, Jonah says with a grin,
and he slips under the invisibility cloak.
Oh, right! Smart, Jonah!
Thanks.
I duck in beside him and hold the cloak securely over us. It's still scratchy, but at least that way we know it's there. Then, hidden under the cloak, Jonah and I step into the castle. Oh no! Two mermaids turn the corner. They're coming right toward us. I hold my breath. Jonah holds his breath. The maids go right past us. We're invisible! Yay! The cloak really works. Jonah pumps his fist.
It's like we're superheroes,
he whispers. Shh, I tell him. The cloak makes us invisible, not silent. Invisible, we hurry down the hall. Now all we have to do is give the cloak to Prince Jean so he can follow the princesses. Prince Jean is our only shot. We don't have time to wait for someone else to come along and figure out where the princesses go. Mary Rose's fate hinges on this prince. We reach the hallway outside the princess's room and see Prince Jean sitting at his usual table with his back to us.
Prince Jean, I whisper, we did it. We got your invisibility cloak.
He doesn't answer.
It's us,
I whisper again. He still doesn't answer.
Prince Jean?
We step around the table and see the prince's eyes are closed, and he's snoring. He is fast asleep. Again.
No! I cry, shaking his shoulder. Wake up! You have to wake up!
He just snores louder.
Seriously, Jonah mutters.
I look at the silver cup on the table. It's empty.
Oh, no, I say. It seems like he drank whatever was in the cup. But we told him not to, Jonah says. And it was his only job. How could he have messed that up? Now what? Jonah asks.
We have to stay under the invisibility cloak, I say, and follow the princesses ourselves.